Hey, so you like money? You like people? Well, here's a really good opportunity I had to share with you. Driving with Uber. Uber's that popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. You no longer have to take cabs, which is great because everyone started really hating cabs. I take Uber a bunch. I love it, especially when I drink. And I like chatting with different drivers. Some of them have really interesting stories as to why they drive Uber. They love being their own boss. They earn great money. It's easy to start. You just need a car and a license. Driving with Uber is great for anyone who needs flexibility. Parents, this is a really easy way to work around your family schedule. Students, you can make some extra money between classes and make some new friends. Now's the prime time to cash in with driving with Uber. You'll thank me for telling you how to get paid every week. I could be getting into your car when you drive Uber, and we can fist bump and chat and talk about stuff. You've got a car and a license. Put them to work for you and start earning serious life-changing money today. Sign up, drive with Uber. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drivewithuber.com. Do it.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin, and it's a podcast dedicated to analyzing the not-so-successful things that can happen on stage sometimes and what we can all learn from them, including all comedians. We all bomb. You don't get to see it on television very much or on people's albums unless you live in a major city like LA or New York. You don't really get to see comics bomb very often, but they do a ton. And because you never really know what makes a joke work until you do it. And a lot of surprising things happen. You see a lot of interesting human nature when you're on stage, especially in those moments when things are not going according to plan. I've learned a lot about myself. I've overreacted to things that don't exist. Since doing this podcast, I've learned that I can be angry in situations that the person doesn't deserve it. If you go way back to one of my earlier episodes, it's called An Act of War, where I took this crowd member wouldn't get his feet off the stage, and I told him to, and he still wouldn't, and I kept getting more and more pissed off, and I tried to keep it funny, but you could hear the anger in my voice, and then I got kind of alpha, and I like got pissed off. And then throughout the course of the episode, you'll learn that he was French, and he couldn't speak English. And then I overcompensated and started playing classical music to look not as stupid. And then I got mad again. So, and at the time, I didn't really understand it until I listened to it later, just how the dude never said one word the entire time, and I projected all my insecurities on him. So that kind of shit happens. And you see it on Twitter a lot. I've started to notice, and I'm guilty of it too. That's the thing. When I say this stuff, I'm not being preachy or condescending, because it's a path that we all have to go through and understand is how you react to stuff, because you know your brain is the only thing that comprehends anything, and it's in darkness in your skull. So it's kind of a bizarre setup that we have here. But I've been noticing that people have been getting pissed off online since its inception, but I'm starting to see a parallel. Normally, I would just categorize people as stupid. I'm like, well, they're stupid. Like, you're a dick, you know, or I'd engage and be angry. But I'm starting to see a similarity between how they act and how my dogs acted when I first got them from the pound. I have three dogs, all from the pound, in various stages of my life. And it's like this PTSD that's associated with pound dogs, where even if you're handing them food, they react like you're going to hit them and then they bite you. And then over time you develop trust and they become the sweetest animals ever. And you realize that their reaction was because of previous experience, that they're like, this is a threat. I used to be a heckler at a Renaissance festival, as some of you may know, because it's one of my stories I like to talk about. And the only time anyone, you know, I would talk shit to people all day long. That was my job. And one time a biker threw a rock at me because I just called him, you know, just basic names. He was wearing a leather vest. And I was doing some village people jokes. And And he had a girl with him. So I was just saying how hot she was. Like, I learned, don't attack women because they kind of don't enjoy it. Because I was paid based on how many tomatoes were thrown at me. So I wanted maximum engagement. So you attack the man, you sexualize the woman. And that was the best way to do it. And because they would giggle. I was shirtless in a stock. Like, I was a prisoner having tomato juice all over my face. So I was not exactly a threat to anyone. And I would be like, your wife looks unsatisfied, you know. You're gone at work all day and she has needs and I'm here, I'm bored, I'll do whatever she wants, you know, stuff like that. And then she would giggle and the guy, like, gets it, gets the joke, but gets kind of pissed off and then wants to hit me in the face, and then everyone makes money and laughs. And this one biker, I was like, yeah, your girl's hot, tugboat. And he was like, what'd you just say? And I got that feeling in my spine, like when you're at the zoo and a tiger looks at you, even though you know you're safe, you still are like, this is bad. And then I realized I wasn't safe. He just picked up a rock and just gunned it at my head. He ended up hitting me in the eye, and I broke a blood vessel in my eye from that. But yeah, because I also couldn't break character because there was a huge crowd of people. So I couldn't be like, dude, it's all a joke, because it would have ruined my whole day. And the gypsies that ran the place would have been pissed. So I just kind of took the shot in the eye and was like, give it up for that guy or something. I had to just take it, which is crazy. And there was blood dripping from my eye. But I kind of realized later that he had just left prison, or he was a prison guy. I also have an episode in the past called the word monster is in the title, where a heckler just becomes a monster and tries to attack me. And he looked like Mike Tyson. And I found out later that you just left prison. And it's almost like this prison mentality with animals and humans. Those are the only times when people don't understand satire or context or irony. Like I said that, like, from my point of view, it's funny. It's like, you're covered in tomatoes, you're a heckler, we're at a Renaissance festival. That guy is like, he just said I'm village people and he's threat to girl, and that comes from incarceration, whether you're a dog or a human. And so then he reacted accordingly, where he threw a rock at my face because he thought I was a threat to him, because he probably has had the shit beat out of him more times than I can imagine. So there's a little bit of empathy in that situation, and you see it on Twitter is starting to have a PTSD mentality where people just react. And it's not, some people are getting down on people where they're like, oh, people are getting evil, they're twisted, they're angry. I think that everyone is so insecure that they're reacting to things that don't exist, myself included. Like I was just ripping on Donald Trump one night, just, you know, but I was still doing it comedically. It was like, Donald Trump's the type of guy that dot dot dot, you know, thinks of baby crying, he takes it offensively, you know. It was like basically yo mama jokes. It wasn't like, I stand here saying he is a monster. Like, because I try not to do that because I'm a comic and I don't know shit about anything. But then I started understanding the appeal of that guy. It's just because he doesn't apologize for anything. And people are just so sick of having to monitor every word out of their mouth that he's a breath of fresh air. He would make a horrible president. That's a fact. You know, it's a fact that he would be bad at being a president. And it's not, maybe he's a good dude, I have no idea. He would just be, he you know, four bankruptcies, he's very, his ego's out of control, he's a baby, he engages with people on Twitter like he's a child. Like that Zucker, the writer for Modern Family, you can't have your head of state like engaging with Twitter trolls. Like, it, for me, it's not even a philosophical issue. And if you say something like that, like Republicans will, or libertarian friends of mine will just already start being like, oh, so you're a bleeding heart pussy. And I'm like, no. And then I've had my Democrat friends be like, oh, well, you know, there's always, people just take everything personally and then get angry. And I'm like, no, I'm not attacking his politics. I don't really have a strong opinion on most things. I believe in personal freedoms, but I believe the government has to step in certain situations. And it's just because he seems like he's like kind of a baby. Like, he just seems like a giant baby. And this is why I'm bringing all this up, because I saw this Kelly Osborne outrage. And this is a textbook example of PTSD outrage, because Trump said all this shit about Mexicans being rapists or something. And even that might have been taken out of context. Granted, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You don't want your president associating an ethnicity with rape in a comment. Whether he believes it or not, you got to fucking just chill out and be middle management, because that's what you are. Congress has more power. Banks have more power than you. You're just kind of making, you're like an Applebee's manager, just making sure everyone's soup is good. So he'd said that, and then Kelly Osborne, and then the Latino community reacted accordingly, which I support, because it's like crazy that he said that they're jumping the border and raping people when, you know, Ivy League motherfuckers do just as much raping. You know, there's probably just a percentage of the population that is predisposed. I don't even know how that whole thing works, but it's an absurd statement. So Kelly Osborne, I think it was on The View or some shit, said, if there were no Latinos, who would clean your toilets? And that's funny. That's a satirical comment. There's a movie out called A Day Without a Mexican. I've seen tons of Latino comics do a very similar joke. She's basically saying, Trump, you're a hypocrite. You use these people to do shitty jobs, and now you're saying they're not allowed here. Fuck you. Like, she has their back. And so what happened, I saw a bunch of news sources drop the "your" in her statement. It said, if there were no Latinos, who would clean toilets? And that is a very inflammatory, offensive statement out of context with no "your". And people freaked out. They're like, this British cunt bitch, she should fucking die, you know. And you're like, what are you talking about? And then the financial fetishism of America is insane, where it's like, this rich cunt, these rich privileged people don't understand. It's like, what do you think happens when you're rich? Like, Kelly Osborne's father was Ozzy Osbourne. He was a heroin addict who is notorious for biting off the heads of bats. He was always gone, and he's insane. Like, what kind of money do you think cures that? Like, if you have a dad and mom that are just kind of there and love you, you're ahead of Kelly Osborne. So don't, like, be like, how dare she have an opinion or be funny? Like, she has every right to have an opinion. People think that anyone with money, despite having a tragic upbringing, I'm not going to say her upbringing is tragic, but if your father is Ozzy Osbourne, you know, I have friends that are like, my dad was an alcoholic. It's like, okay, multiply that by 1,000. Like, her dad was known as like a devil-worshipping rocker covered in blood, cocaine. He once snorted a line of ants. That might have been Motley Crue, but it's the same type of genre. She was a little girl, like a little girl, like a baby girl, and her dad is Ozzy Osbourne. Okay, so don't fetishize money. Don't be like, how dare she because she has a Roth IRA or some shit. Everyone has a right to an opinion and a right to feel pain and to feel whatever they want. But the whole irony is she was making fun of Donald Trump. One thing that keeps happening is people that have your side, like as someone's feeding this dog food, and the dog bites the hand because it perceives it as a threat. Even me saying that, I'm sure someone right there reacted like, oh, are you saying Mexicans are dogs and you're like feeding them with your white hand? It's like hilarious. You cannot win. If someone's trying to find, like, that's just a great metaphor. It's a great metaphor to understand what I'm talking about. She's saying, Trump, if you have these people, then you can't. If you exploit these people, if you give them shitty jobs, you cannot attack them and say they can't be in this country. That was the whole point of the joke. And people then like called her these vicious, cruel names because she was anti-Hispanic. So I pulled up, to stay in the format of the show, I pulled up a couple clips from recent sets where you can kind of see a situation where people are reacting like something's happening that isn't happening. And I just kind of had to deal with it in various ways. This one is with a drunk woman, and any comic will attest that that is a major situation. Rather they're happy drunk or mean drunk, or you never, drunk women are just, you just never, it's like if you ever see a squirrel in your house, I've had squirrels in my house before growing up. Like there'd be a squirrel and they're out of their minds. They're just run. They have no concept of reality until they get back outside and then they're chilling. So here's a clip.
Explain why you think, and then I'll tell you why I think. What makes you think that? No, I know it's true, but what do you think though? What's that? You need to do a quick powwow, get a thesis statement? That's all good. You're what? You're more evolved?
At that point, I had a decision to make. When she said you're more evolved, I could either just viciously attack her and just show the irony that what she was doing was monkey behavior versus a lot of the men were quiet. But I had mercy because she seemed okay. So I just was like, okay, and I went into another joke. But you can see what just happened. I was doing a bit about sperm versus eggs, where if a woman sold all her eggs, it's worth $2 billion. And if a guy sells everything in his balls, it's $75. That's why when your girl gets her period, she gets depressed because she just lost $6,000. That's the joke. It's longer. I talk about scarcity and why, because guys flood the market with jizz. We don't understand economics. But in the setup, I say men are more valuable than women. And you just hear these like gaggle of women be like, that's right. Like, she's already mad. I'm literally saying that their gender is more valuable. Like, that's an insane compliment. And she didn't just, like, clap and beam a little and be like, oh, I'm appreciated, and look at her guy and be like, oh, that's cool. She fucking, like, took the inch, that tiny sliver of power, and just put an exclamation point at the end of it. You damn right we are. It's like, okay, bitch. Now I have to like look at you different, and now I have to, and at the time I'm very comfortable on stage in most scenarios. There's sometimes I can get rattled, as you've seen in previous episodes, but you have to assess the situation, be like, I'm comfortable enough, the crowd has my side, I know what I'm doing here, I don't need to just win, you know, I can just be like, okay. You're like, because when everyone realizes what's happening, you don't have to say anything. There's other times when you have to. It's like prison rules. You got to shank the biggest dude or else the crowd will turn on you. It's a circus. But other times you just have to back down. And I've said some crazy, like, here's a situation. I don't know what is going on with these, but I pulled these. This is another situation where I'm about to make a statement about American imperialism and people start freaking out. Okay, this is called, is it the Japan one? Yeah, play the Japan one.
Like Germany isn't called Germany. Like neither is Japan. What's it called? Asians. What's Japan called? Like in your, huh? Japan. No, but it's not even fucking close in the original shit. What's it called?
Tipo? Pause for one second. Before we finish the clip, did you hear that stupid bitch just go, Japan? That like white American bitch. And by the way, I'm not attacking white Americans. I'm a white American. There's a lot of really good us. And I'm not even saying this from like a progressive point of view. It's not like she literally thinks that I'm now, because I said Asians, what do you call Japan? And she's like, it's Japan, like that I'm being a dick before I even finish my thought. And just, she's so uneducated that she has no idea where I'm going with this. So let's finish this off.
Tipo? Nippon? Yeah, it's not even fucking close. It's like Nippon, it's like Japan. Even like Spain, what's that, España? It's not even close. España. You're being a real Spain in the ass. Spain, fuck you.
Okay, so within a second, you see that my joke is about renaming cultures and how funny that is. And I'm not attacking anyone. It's just a funny observation. I already forgot the name of Japan. It's like Napalm. What did she say? Napalm? Who knows? But basically, that girl was the joke. Like, she embodied the joke where I'm like, what's Japan called, Asians? And she's like, Japan? It's like, you're missing, you are now the joke. Because my whole point is that we're so ignorant to other cultures that we don't even know what the fuck they call themselves. And it's not like they're like, Japan. They're like, Napalm, or some completely different word. Like, it's not even close. And we're just like, ah, fuck that. They're Japan. So I don't even, you know, I rarely do that joke. I did that joke because I was on was working on another Asian joke about why, something about driving, about why they're bad drivers, because they're too good at math, where they, instead of going 30, they'll go 10, because they think it's a third less dangerous, or it's a third the risk, because if it's 30 miles an hour and you have X risk, if you go 10, it's divided by 3, when in fact you're now an obstacle to someone going 30, or it's as if someone's going 20 and you're now a boulder. So I'm doing a whole bit on that. So I was like working up to it, trying to get myself a little credibility before I started attacking races. and that joke just embodied every, it's like when you have someone's side, they're already angry. Short dudes get that way with tall dudes. I experience that a lot as a tall man. Like, I'll just walk up to dudes sometimes and be like, yo man, and they already look at me like, fuck you, man. And it's just weird. Okay, we can check out some of those other Asian jokes. Want to play Asian? What is it? Asian One? Is that one? This is just circus. This is a circus act.
I'm only racist when I drive. You know, you did it. What's that? You know what? You drive well, just way too slow. Like, you're driving safe. It's safe.
Well, I actually just kind of did that. Play the other Asian one. Because this is when things get heated. Because I think her boyfriend was wearing, like, an absurd jersey.
Because this is the thing. Statistically, they are at fault less than the average American because it's constantly people rear-ending them. That's horseshit. You gotta read between the lines. Because you're not at fault if someone rear-ends you, but if you're going 10 on a fucking highway, like, you're a dick. I mean, admit that it makes any sense. Yeah, you're smart. And if you read Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, you know why? It's because your language makes it easier to fucking remember numbers. Are you Chinese or Korean?
Did you hear that again? I go, are you Chinese or Korean? And some white woman, that some bitch, was like, like that I just said something offensive, when in fact Korea and Japan and China are neighboring countries. They're literally, they share a border. There's 1 inch separating them, theoretically. And did you hear the Asian girl? We're having a blast. Like, they were like some of my fit. There was a couple. It was this Asian chick. This is in Seattle, so there's tons of Asian people. And that's why it was doing well, because the Asians are laughing, because they like it when, you know, most cultures, any culture, whether or not it's I'm in my hometown talking about white people that drive trucks and shit, or like my brother's area about making fun of the Saranac Lake area, where it's like, you people, I start you people a lot because it's a very general thing to say. Like, you people will, you know, have solar panels and be like, our electric bill was $1 this year. We grew all our own crops and we make our own clothes and we sustain completely. And then it's like, how much were your ski bindings? And they're like, $3,000. And my pass is $100 a day. So, you know, you make fun of cultures and they love it. And same with Hispanic crowds are my favorite, because they love that honesty. Like, they love that unapologeticness of just making fun of them, their culture, because there's so much of this frozen vibe that too much communication, too many voices, too many cooks in the kitchen are making people freeze, and they they'll feel like, oh, that's funny, but should it be funny? And then in that questioning moment, you lose everything. If it's funny, laugh. You know what hate feels like. It's the same with sex. It's like, should I have this boner? I don't know. It's like, if you're hard, you're hard. Run with it. That's my basic point. And since I don't have a guest today, that's why I was getting a little analytical. People also like when I recommend books. So I recommended that Gladwell book a ton because it kind of showed a lot of things that Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers is a very famous book. I don't really need to plug it. It's so famous. But it's great at outlining why certain groups of people do really well in certain areas versus other groups. And a lot of times it's just straight statistical analysis. And it's just mind-blowing. There's so many funny examples. Not funny. Some of them are crazy. But you know why Koreans kept crashing their planes? Is because they have so much deference to authority. Like, there's like a formal you and an informal you in Spanish. In English, there's just one you. I mean, I guess you could say sir or ma'am or something. But they have like six levels in Korean where there's all these, where everyone's like on a different stratosphere. They're on a different like rock layer, you know? And you have to look up and show reverence to people above you in authority. And so what the place that really fucks people is in cockpits, because the co-pilot will never question the captain. And the whole point of a co-pilot is to be like, I don't know, man. There's a mountain right there. That's why they're there. It's checks and balances, you know? That's why our government works. You have three branches. They keep each other in check. Koreans, you know, they'd be like, you shut up. Sit. You know, and they'd be like, sir, no disrespect, but never mind. And then 2 minutes, you listen to the shit in the black box recordings, and it's as they're crashing. They're everyone dies in 30 seconds, and it's like, yes, Captain, you may want to rethink, but you are the man. You have big dick. And the captain's like, how dare you even talk? I am thinking, dickhead. And that's why they kept crashing. So now they don't crash because they're forced to speak English, because just that simple change of language, they just say you or sir or captain versus the six levels of authority and shit. And it's little things like that. Or like Canadian hockey players. Most of the elite hockey players were all born in the same month because it gave them like a slight advantage starting as children. A slight size advantage. And that just keeps snowballing until you're grown. So it's like almost the opposite of the Epstein book, The Sports Gene, which I also have been talking about recently. That's all genetics, where it's certain DNA things that they've discovered about different, not just races, because race is very broad, but different sections of race, where there's like a group of people in Kenya that literally they could just park their car, go to an Olympic stadium and run 30 miles without really training. It's like this weird thing. I think it's like it has to do with hemoglobin or some shit in their blood. There's just like genetic variations that make people do things very well. Sprinters, most of them come out of West Africa or Jamaica. There's a certain gene that makes your tendons more elastic and your legs longer. And you say shit like that and people immediately think racist, but it's like, I'm 6'7", like I can reach shelves that someone who's 5'4 can't. And you can tell me all day long that we're equal, but we're not. And it's genetic, and it's because of where my ancestors were from. And that's just a fact. You know, I will get skin cancer way faster than a black dude. I can't breathe through my nose as well as black dudes. My nasal passages are narrow because Scandinavians, they have to have tight noses to have to warm and moisten air, because the air is so cold and dry that they had to mutate so that they didn't suffocate because the air was so awful. And if you, the farther south you go, the wider the nostrils, because the air is naturally moist and warm. So you just get these bursts of oxygen. You can just breathe like a fucking stallion. And my nose isn't equipped for anything south of like Maine. That's a disadvantage. That's one of the things about being white that's really funny, is as soon as you start talking race, people immediately think that you're putting other races down, when in fact, there's so many instances when you're at a disadvantage, like physically. Like white people are bred, literally bred to kick ass in a cold area. You know, that's like the whole reason we're white, is to let vitamin D into our skin when there was like no sun half the year. That's the whole point. I live in Los Angeles. I'll give you a little hint about the weather. It's super warm and it's always sunny and there's no need to warm and moisten the air. So I'll fucking snore sometimes or like get a stuffy nose. And my black friends are just look really happy all the time with their airflow. And it, you know, but as soon as if we go to Norway or Sweden, they're going to be pissed because their air is going to be shit and mine's going to be warm and moist. So I'm about to grab a coffee. And when I come back, I'm going to do something I've never done on this show before. I brought my piano to the studio, the Sideshow Network studio, and I'm going to take requests on Periscope. It's going to be live. And I'm going to upload this as a podcast, but it'll be live there, but you'll still get the audio. People can request any song they want and any topic, and I'll try and wing it. Also, I have noticed that my podcast has been featured again on the iTunes new and noteworthy section, which is insane. And that's probably a combination between someone at iTunes being really awesome and digging my shit, and also because you guys like comment and rate and subscribe to my podcast, because I haven't been doing it that long, and that's really cool. So to say thank you, if you email me a screenshot of your comment or rating or subscription or whatever on iTunes or whatever you guys use, I'll mail you something cool. If you send me your address, whether it's a t-shirt or a bumper sticker, a comedy DVD, or maybe a Why Didn't They Laugh picture that's really nice. There's this girl, Erica, who drew me this beautiful picture that's it's the picture I use for the podcast. I will send that to you free. Well, I'll do it to show respect to you guys. And I've never done anything like that before. But I live near a FedEx, so I feel like I can just get a ton of envelopes and just start mailing shit. So the first 20 people can get like a t-shirt or a DVD or some shit. And then the next like 100, I'll send like a picture or a bumper sticker, something. Yeah, just show that I really appreciate that. Because if you guys aren't listening and sharing it, I'm just talking to myself, which I do. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons I got into comedy, is because I would be alone so much. Like I was always in school suspension growing up, 6 hours a day, all day long. I was behind two filing cabinets and a map because, you know, my teachers would call me a know-it-all. If you just question anything, like, people in authority get pissed. And because it wasn't like I was like beating the shit out of people or anything. I'd just be like, so what's going on in Greenland right now? And they're like, that's not part of the curriculum. And I'm like, no, but like, why, what's happening here? Like, we never talk about Greenland. Like, why is it called Greenland? You know, and I'd be like 8 or 9 and they'd be like, you're a bad kid. They used to call me a cancer. They're like, you're a cancer. Because in their defense, you know, I have to develop this empathy quality or else I get too angry all the time. They probably are not very intelligent in the sense that they can think about a lot of things at once. So they have a narrow focused regime that they have to teach, where they're like, we're going to learn about Rome. And you got some chubby asshole in the back just raising his hand every 2 seconds to have some crazy ADD question. It's probably annoying. Some of my teachers loved it, because they would weave it together with what they're talking about. And the bigger the picture that you're learning about, the more you understand the specifics. Like, imagine just learning about, I don't know, I can't even think of anything right now. Like, just learning about a nose hair and not a nose. It's like there'd be no reason to learn about a nose hair. If you're only describing a nose hair without the function of being in a nose, it would just be boring. And that's why kids hate school. And this is a dude that needs no plugging because he's just such a monster in podcasts. But that's why I love Joe Rogan's podcast, because he's got that wide scope of learning, or he just loves learning random shit and he just connects the dots and his mind's open. Same with like Callan and Trussell and all these Fitzsimmons, all these dudes, that whole crew is like fucking great. I mean, it's such a refreshing feeling to be around. I'm not even around them. I like know these guys. Like, I've done Fitzsimmons' podcast. I've toured with Callan before. I've met Joe. I've met Duncan. I know Ari. But it's like the beauty of these podcasts is you can just listen to the people that you wish you had growing up in your head. Because, you know, like, they probably experience a lot of similar shit where it's like, you're different. Shut up. Get out of here. And I played classical music, and my piano teacher wouldn't let me be around the other kids because she thought I was being a know-it-all. And it's like, what the fuck? And then, because it's not even like I'm this superior intellect in any way. I can't spell. Directions. I have to literally MapQuest or whatever it's called on the iPhone, places that I go all the time, just to like, because I forget. I don't understand spatial shit sometimes. So everyone, but when it comes to being inquisitive and being open-minded to like thoughts and feelings and being getting a natural sense of like a high or euphoria from a new concept is alien to a lot of people, and they hate you for it. They literally hate you for it. And that's why these podcasts to me are so important, because I still spend most of my day alone. I mean, my girlfriend has a normal job, so she's gone. And then I have these three dogs. They don't speak English, but we have a lot of eye contact. So I jog a lot, and I listen to podcasts, and I play piano, and I live in a building. I live in a nice condo, and it's like near the beach, but it's the type of building where it's like really rich people's second homes. So it's like every unit is sold. It's like but it's kind of empty, which is cool in a way. But it's a bunch of like Chinese and Indian billionaires and Middle Eastern billionaires and millionaires that are there like 4 weeks a year, and they can just like buy it because it's really safe. Everything has a key card and shit. But so even my building is kind of empty. It's like an American upper middle guy in LA. It's like a good condo to aspire to and then get and live in. And it's very nice for me. But it's like if you're super rich, it's a great like place to go 4 weeks a year. It's hilarious how it works out, because it's kind of near the airport, but it's like really peaceful and beautiful and it's safe. And so I'm always alone in my building. So I'm like, you know, I'll be at the pool, and it's this beautiful pool with like cabanas, and there's just no one there. And I'm very comfortable being alone, but that's why I listen to these fucking podcasts. And that's why I like doing them, because it's fun. So I'm going to grab a coffee. You guys email me at those screenshots or tweet them or whatever. I set up an email account. It's whydidn'ttheylaughpodcast@gmail.com. If you email me that shit, I will email you back stuff to show my appreciation, because it really means a lot to me that you guys get into this type of shit, because terrestrial radio is kind of dying. And I have a lot of really good relationships with radio DJs, and I love them. But it's that format is just people don't relate as much anymore to that, like, Ticker Stop Tuesdays. So how big's your dick? You're tall. How big's your dick? You know, there's some that don't do that. Heidi and Frank in LA have a great mix of like, they sound very podcasty and conversational, and Bob and Tom were always like that. I have a bunch of, you know, some Cowhead and my buddies in Miami. There's so many, I should make a list of all the great radio DJs that I know and the ones that like can carry just conversation. And then I'll just kind of exclude the thousands of others that I've done where it's like, Google says you were in Punk'd, and I'm like, yeah, that was 9 years ago. I'm plugging a show right now, and they're like, so was Eliza Ashton really in your ear? And I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, fuck you. Like, Google anything. Like, just do any research as to why I'm plugging a fucking stand-up show in the city I'm in, and I'm fucking doing something else that I'm plugging. It's like, so you dated Christina Ricci. How are her tits? It's like, I don't know. How's your wife's fucking pussy, you fucking loser? I wouldn't say those things. I would be like, well, sometimes I would. But, you know, you can't say fuck. All right, so I'm going to grab a coffee, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to do some piano. All right. There's going to be no time difference because my buddy's going to hit pause. All right, much love. And I'm back. Got some coffee. I also have to plug some shit coming up. I'm going back to see my brother in Saranac Lake. He's a wonderful teacher. He's one of the teachers I wish I had, Jason. He's the man. And so we're going to do a performance at Blue Seed Cafe on August 8th, I think. It's a Saturday. It's 7 and 9. It only holds like 80 people, but it's going to be cool. We're going to donate some shit to his kids' schools through it. It'll just be fun. I'm going to get him on stage. He's funnier than me, like way funnier, but I think he would just bail way early. Like, he's the type of guy that should have a podcast, but doesn't, because he's actually living his life. And he's like one of the people that would be like, he had to slaughter his rooster, and he was really bummed because he just named it Elvis, because I guess the rooster was just banging everybody, and he was like, oh, it's Elvis. And then it started like hurting the other chickens. I guess it was like there was a domestic abuse situation going on with Elvis, so my brother had to kill him and eat him. And you know, he was like, I wish I hadn't named him, because that made it like really real. My brother looks to the bright side of everything, even in situations where you, like, people that you normally don't envy, my brother envies. It's really refreshing, actually. Makes you feel good when you're in a shitty situation. Like, one time he saw a dude with one arm. Swear to God, he goes, man, I wish I was one-armed. Fucking, those guys can't be handcuffed. Lucky bastard. Like, he was once jealous of a deaf dude because he hates noise and he wants to be able to do sign language through thick glass. And I was like, you could learn sign language. He's like, nah, I can't. I'm not deaf. This guy's got it going on. There's a couple more that he said over the years that I think is fucking hilarious. But his kids always do so well on tests. He's such a wacky teacher, I guess. I don't even know if that's the right word, but kind of out of the box. And his kids always just crush, because he's so genuine. He like loves his children. He loves his kids, loves his daughters, loves his wife. And you know, a dude who really loves his wife is the ones that can like complain about him and be like pissed about him. Like, he's like, fucking Mary, she's pissing me off, man. And that's when you know it's love. Because if it's the people that are like, oh no, she's perfect, we're great, we're always on vacation, like they're not, that's not real. That's crazy. I don't know what that is. But also, I'm doing my hometown of Oswego, New York, Scribe a Town Inn. I've never done it before, but I just posted on Facebook, I'm going to be home visiting my mom. My mom kind of reached out to me like, come home, you know, we love you. And she's a very stoic woman. Her dad was a lead miner, very strong. So for her to show any emotion like that of like, you know, back in the day in college, I'd be like, should I come home for the holidays? She's like, come in April, it's cheaper. Like, she's very like, no, be happy you're alive. Like, in a great way. She thinks most problems come from dehydration. Very, very like stoic and wise and warm, very warm and loving, but also doesn't normally say like, come home, I'd love to see you. So I was like, yeah, I'm coming home. So I'm going home to see my parents in Oswego. So I'm going to do a show there. Normally I do the Syracuse Funny Bone, which I still am going to do, hopefully, because I love it there. It's an unbelievable club right in the, what used to be Carousel Mall. Now it's Destiny USA, right next to a go-kart track. But it's going to be fun to be able to do a show for my friends in Oswego, and they don't have to drive anywhere, and it's just going to be at a bar. So that's Wednesday, August 12th, I believe, or 14th or 12th. And then end of August, I'm doing Jacksonville Comedy Zone, last weekend of August. Steve Byrne and I are going to start a room together in Las Vegas. I don't have all the details on that right now, but it's me and Steve Byrne. It's the last Wednesday in August we're going to do it. So if you tweet me or email me or Facebook me, any of those mediums, I'll give you all that information. But him and I like to do things together, and so we're going to do that. And then September, I'm going back to Madison, Wisconsin to do Comedy on State, which if you've never been there, is one of the best comedy clubs I can even conceive of. It's the type of place where that place is packed every night. They could headline a chair and it'd fill up because the vibe is so amazing. So, and I love it. I just love it there. And then in October, I'm doing a rock club tour, like small rock venues. I don't have the details on that either, but it's going to be the East Coast. It's going to be like Philly and Toronto and Albany and all these beautiful towns. So, you know, email me for that. Or follow me on all the shit. I don't really know the best way to do that because I don't have the details yet, but I want you to get fired up and I want you to come out. So let's get this Periscope thing fired up and see what people request.
La-da-da. Okay, so we go to Periscope. Periscope. I'll start it up.
I'll tell you what's happening. So Periscope, if you don't know what it is, it's an app that allows you to live stream. So it's just everything's live, live, live. All right, which I dig because I like live. It's a lot better than dead.
Okay, so taking piano requests. During my podcast, hit me. Let's jam. Okay, start broadcast. All right, let's see how this is going. Now I gotta flip this fucking thing.
Sweet. All right, I'm on Periscope. So, okay, some people are joining. Yeah, hit me with requests. While we wait, I will play you some Amelie. Can you hear that? Ever see the Amelie movie? It's very beautiful. What's up, Brian? Amelie was a girl. She wasn't like all the other girls. I don't remember the plot of the movie, but I remember the fucking song. Okay, somebody requested Freebird. Hot cross buns. Okay, so Freebird is like... So it's like, you could do it about like, hot cross buns are the best buns. Anything by Elton John about Donald Trump. Okay, let's do it. Donald Trump has a sweet rump. Back that ass up, Donald T. He thinks rape is, I don't even know. How's that song go? It's like, and then it's like, hold the queso, Donald Trump. Have a gordita supreme on me. I don't know. What else we got? Hi, listen to the colors. What's up, everybody? Under the Bridge, you got a friend in me. Listen, Under the Bridge, I love. Oh, play Lennon, Levon, everything. Oh, some good fucking requests. Do you know how the song Every Time the Colors, that I am a man, up, up in the air, that song, and I run around, round. That's a good one. Imagine, I'll do Imagine. What topic? Wow, they're coming in fast. Someone said no, so no Imagine. You don't want Imagine? Someone said Piano Man. Lean on Me. How about I do Imagine, but with Lean on Me lyrics. Lean on me when you're not strong. How's the rest of the song go? When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. Lean on me. All right, that was kind of fun. Everything song by the Colors. Can you Google Everything song by the Colors and see what's going on with that? Because this is like either one person really likes it or a lot of people dig it, so I got to really know it. Every Time by the Colors with a K. What is that? Oh, that's different. Okay, we're going to Google it. We're going to figure it out. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, I'm going to need a little time with that, but it's like, whoa, dun, 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 whoa, 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 oh, oh, dun, dun, dun. Nah, nah, nah. So something like that. I don't fucking know. I'll figure that out. Could you play? Oh, this is going so fast now. Holy shit. Journey Faithfully. Okay. Give me a topic. Okay, show it goes. Journey. Highway run. sun. That's the song. Wheels go round and round in my mind. All right, give me something to sing about. So should we do, okay, I'll do Stairway to Heaven lyrics to Journey faithfully. There's a lady who's sure all the glitter's gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, don't know the words, and she's buying a fucking stairway to heaven. It seems all the other stairways to heaven have been bought. Oh, girl, you say it right here. I'm forever yours. Stairway to heaven. That was pretty fun. Sam Smith with Cecil the Lion. Okay, will you? How does Sam Smith go again? Will you get? Stay with me. You know what? All I need. Stay with me. So it's stay with me. Stay with
A minor 7 FC.
Stay with me. Oh, no. So it's A minor 7. That's it? Wow. Say cause you're all I need. Okay, so it's Cecil the Lion. Everyone got super pissed. A bunch of cows were like, why the fuck him, not us? Is it cause he's fucking got a sweet mane? What's up, brother? And we have fat tits. That's Cecil the Lion with Stay by Sam Cooke. So it's a dentist was super pissed. He watched the Lion King, how everyone would sing. So he went to fucking Africa and he shot a fucking lion. Then Twitter started a hashtag and then they outlawed the word fag. All right, yeah, you're not allowed to say fag either. What else we got? Waving My Dick in the Wind. That's nice. Tiny Dancer. Okay, so we'll do Tiny Dancer and Waving. Oh, Lenny Kravitz. Yeah, he had his dick out today. Coldplay, let's do Coldplay and Lenny Kravitz's dick. Let's combine those two. If you wear pants with no undies and there's a hole in those pants, and you dance with a lot of squat thrusts, realize that it is a bad call. But he had a sweet dick. It was like 5 inches, completely not hard. That's why his album was called Five. He had an album called Five. True story. I think it's about his limp dick size. He He sang a song about American woman and put a American flag around himself in the video. That was cool, but what was a lot cooler was when he showed the world his limp hammer. I did not stammer. That rhymes with hammer. All right, you got the idea on that one. All right, so no shite. Thank you. Anything from the pod? Howlin', Mario. Well, I can play Mike Tyson's Punch Out. All right. Sing about my tiny tits. Someone said, sing about my tiny tits. I got some tiny tits, but that's fucking okay. 'Cause it helps me run and helps me have fun, and dudes are into pussy anyway. Unless you're fucking five, then you love tits. But any other dude, not to be rude, but I'm all about vagina, ass, and face and personality. You guys see Lenny Kravitz's huge clit? Imagine if someone thought he was a chick with a huge clit. All right, Moonlight Sonata. No problem. Tell me a topic. Okay, yeah. Fuck yeah. Hit me with something to kind of talk. A laser tag? Something in my ass? Okay. Okay, you lost me. Your piano is good, but your voice is killing me. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Hey, apparently my dad now has a Periscope. I love you too. I love Sullivan and Son. Oh, thank you, but it's canceled. Shout out me. Okay. Well, you're already gone. Fuck. There's a lot of shit happening here. John Stewart leaving. I can do that. Bruce Jenner. Great. Now give me a song. You got Lean On Me. Lean On. Smells Like Teen Spirit. Lean On. My name is Matt. Someone just said my name is Matt. And now he's my favorite person on this entire thing because he gets it. Okay. So I'll do Billy Joel, Piano Man. About someone said... Oh, Over the Hills and Far Away. I've never done that before. Jon Stewart is leaving The Daily Show, which is kind of sad to see him go. But Trevor Noah is my broa. He'll be fucking funny, and Jon Stewart will still do stand-up and fucking stuff. All right, I want to fuck myself by Gigi Olin. I don't know that one. Somewhere Over the Rainbow I can do, however. Somewhere. Tori Amos. Okay. Oh, someone requested Pink Floyd. That's nice. Okay, so I'm going to do Somewhere Over the Rainbow to a topic. Someone said Westlife, Chocolate Rain. That's already a joke. Doesn't really translate. Kent, know them? I do not. Koreans crashing planes due to authority issues. I just met a new best friend. Okay, so somewhere over there. Somewhere over the cloud, there's a Korean pilot. He is a good driver, but he doesn't take any shit. He got a little drowsy and his co-pilot pointed out a mountain. And he said, "Huh, fucker, you are." And then everyone fucking died. Okay, cool. Ciao. Yeah, ciao to you too. I'll do another maybe 5 to 10 on here. Why don't we do it in the road by Hulk Hogan? That's amazing. That's already funny. I can't make that funnier. Why Don't We Do It in the Road was originally by the Beatles, and just saying it's by Hulk Hogan is fucking hilarious. All right, Comfortably Numb, no problem. Let's do a topic. Give me a topic. Someone said correct. Ring of Fire, play Imagine. Already did it earlier. You can hit rewind. You can save it for like Mad World. There we go. Okay, so so Scientology with Mad World. Let's do it. All around me are Tom Cruise's shoes. Tom Cruise's shoes. Why? Because it rhymes with Cruise. Am I fucking crazy? All right, let me do that one more time. Who started Scientology again? What was that guy's name? L. Ron Hubbard? L. Ron Hubbard, yeah. L. Ron Hubbard had a bet with his buddy. I bet I can start a religion. His buddy said, no fucking way. And Hubbard said, way. And he said, no fucking way. So he went to Hollywood Boulevard and got some retard. Well, it rhymed. I'm not going to say, because I know that's a slur. And I actually agree with that one. I almost said a slur about retarded, because retarded's fine. I'm not the big PC guy, but the other one fucking sound is mean. I don't want to do it, but it rhymed with Boulevard. So I kind of got caught in that one. But it's about rhyming. All right, Kermit and Miss Piggy breaking up to the entertainer. Okay. She is a pig and he's a frog. That would never fucking work. Okay, topic. Obama has a bath with Morgan Freeman. And someone said comfortably numb. Let's do it. Hello, hello, hello. Morgan, are you in there? I let you sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. Now it's time to pay the bill. Yes, I'm here, but can you chill? I now see why you gave me the ducky. You gave me a rubber ducky, cause I'm assuming you want a rubber a fucky. I'm Morgan Freeman, and you're Barack Obama. Obama said, it's cool, I'm not gonna rub your hammer. I just wanna help you bathe, cause I'm a big fan. But Morgan Freeman said, but bro, you are a man. And I'm from the deep south from a long time ago, and that's kinda frowned upon to fucking rub a man. Alright, so I went with that one. Okay, smelly cat. John Legend, All of Me. How does All of Me go? How does All of Me go?
I don't know either.
It's that All of Me song that's like, I'll give you all of... I'll give you all... How's it go? All of... I give you all...
I think it's like a major minor.
But it's like, what's the... How's it go, though? Bill Cosby, Band of Horses. Okay, so... So, Funeral. What, can you tell me the chords of Funeral? It's like, coming up on the... Bill Cosby and Band of Horses has got to be the greatest combination I've ever seen on Periscope before. It's like, okay, we got serial rapists, and then we got a great alt band out of Utah by way of Nashville.
B-flat, E-flat.
But how's it go, though? All right, so it's B-flat, E-flat, A-flat, but so how's it like go, though? It's like, coming up only.
So that's F, C, G.
So, coming up only. I gotta hear it though. So it's. So it's F, C.
Coming up only.
Can you play it? So it's coming up or with the lyrics? Oh, I fucking love this song.
It's a good song.
Coming up, need to show you.
Oh, dude, now I get why you said that. All right, so the lyrics are, so it's
coming up only to hold you under.
I now get the correlation. I didn't know those lyrics. I've never really thought about it before. So it's
coming up only to give you a sip. I'll be outside.
All right, it's a little high. I'll figure that one out. So I'll do it in a lower key so my voice doesn't fucking completely shoot. So we got
coming up only to
fuck.
Coming up only.
So FC. So what would that be? So if it's
coming up only to
now to So if it's F C G
D A E F sharp.
D A E F sharp. F sharp major or minor? Minor, yeah. So one more time.
D A E F sharp minor.
D A. Alright, cool. So it's coming up only to hold you under. Coming up on in to round you down. And the outside, I don't know the words. Oh, that's how we could make it Bill Cosby.
Blah, 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 bleep, blah.
And then
Jello, cooking butter pops. Coming out, ho, beep, bop, bop, drink it up. Drink it up, drink the whole fucking drink, and now your pants are off.
I can't do a Bill Cosby impression. Oh, the booty pop, the fucking booty pop, in your fucking dick, my dick, your fucking booty pop. That's my impression of Bill Cosby, is just a lot of peas. Star Wars theme. I got to roll soon here, huh? What do we got? Like five? Okay. Do the Friends theme. I don't know the Friends theme song. So it's, how's it, Making You Wait? Or no, that's Cheers. Here are some friends and they live in Manhattan and none of them have jobs. They are all hot and they never work and they act like a bunch of slobs. Wouldn't you like to have a fucking condo that big? According to the Bravo Channel, it would be $6.2 million. And Phoebe works at a fucking coffee shop. Okay, Dust in the Wind and Asians. Great. So it's okay, so Dust in the Wind and Asians. So it's buckle your belt. Not bad drivers, but statistically a little dicey. I had an eye doctor once who claimed Asians have less peripheral vision. But then he said, don't ever repeat it on fucking something like national, like Periscope. All we are really Asians, if you really think about it. All we do. I love Asians. I think they're great people. Well, most of them. Some of them are dickheads. But Japanese people are very clean and well-mannered people. I worked at a Japanese restaurant for 6 years. They tip like shit, but they're so polite that I don't even give a fuck. I'm like, you palm me a dollar, and it's a $1,000 bill, but we'll look past it because you make eye contact and you bow and you're fucking super smiley. Okay, their food is awesome. It's insane. It's insane. Okay, I'll sing the comments. Someone said sing the comments, and I got to go. Okay, what song should I sing with the comments? You guys comment, and I'll sing it. Yeah, who said that? Who said that? That was a good idea. Illarota at Illarota. Okay, so I'll sing the comments to Piano Man. So you got to make sure they're coming. All right, here we go. Whip it real good. Poop in my panties. Carry onward, wayward son. I don't know if this is going to... All right, now it's spiraling. I eat poo. I love pussy. Holy fuck, my tongue's bleeding. Take out my breath. penis, dick, butthole. Milk sandwiches, I have AIDS. Rabbit love, rape is fine. Oh boy, I bet you're sorry now. My ass itches, wank, 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 penis. Anal exams are exciting, dog in a bathtub. Cultural appropriation, Superman is dead. I killed my dick with a hog. Whip it, Sean is hot, I have man boobs. Rat jumping off a fern, don't worry, I'm on the pill. Someone even wrote da da da. voila, she's a good fuck. Fire, what up, bro? Cleveland rocks, dick noodle dick. Frozen is the best. Okay, so this has been a lot of fun. I shoved a cactus up my ass, is now up. Waitress is practicing politics. That's an actual lyric. Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I need beans. I raped a child. Doom, 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 doo, doo, doom. Penis fingers. I've never met my da-da dad. Best Periscope ever, rim jobs. And that's how we're going to close this show. So this has been another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? If you found me on Periscope and you want to see what happened before this, because I'm going to put all this on the fucking podcast, it'll probably be up tomorrow. It's called Why Didn't They Laugh? You can download it, subscribe, send it out. I love you guys. Thank you very much. And be safe and brush your teeth and stay hydrated.
That broadcast. Okay,
that was it, guys. That was a Periscope experience, and I was reading comments. I've never raped a kid. All right, so check me out, check out my tour dates, and subscribe and tweet it out. I love you guys. Peace. If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.